Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners. I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners. Despite Jesus' words there, I am fairly certain that you cannot convince me that when that man and his friends lowered him down through that roof to Jesus, I am fairly certain you cannot convince me that their original intent in doing so was that Jesus would tell the man his sins were forgiven. I don't think that's what they started off going for. I mean, right? This comes right after last week's readings where we talked about Jesus casting out demons and healing people who were sick and healing the man who had leprosy, healing Simon's mother-in-law. Remember, we talked about spiritual healing and physical healing and relational healing last week. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted. They wanted a miracle. They didn't want to see forgiveness of sins. They wanted a physical miracle. That's why they went to all that trouble. I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but as a kid, I know I used to always hear this story, and I thought about it as, just a thatched roof. So they just kind of like pulled up some of the thatching and dropped them straight down, right? Just like palm leaves thrown on top of sticks or something. There's at least five adults on top of that roof. We're told that there's the man and the four who drop him down. The way it's worded implies there's actually more friends who showed up, but only four do the dropping. So there might be more than five on top of that roof. It's not just leaves thrown haphazardly on top of sticks. They cut through a roof to do this. I don't think they did all of that work just because they wanted to hear the words, "Your sins are forgiven." I think they wanted to see what in their mind would be a miracle. Is that fair to say? I admire Jesus' reaction to what they did. Because I'll be honest with you, if I'm sitting there talking to a group of people and someone comes cutting through the roof while I'm doing so, I think the first words out of my mouth would be something more like, "What are you doing? What are you thinking? I mean, I know it's crowded, but there was a door. If it was this bad, we could have set up some sort of line, take a number, something. You didn't have to destroy this other person's roof to get down here." But what does Jesus say? "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus, this guy doesn't walk. That's the first priority right now. That's what everybody's thinking, right? As he says this, I'm pretty sure that's what everybody in the room is thinking right then is, Jesus, that's nice. We appreciate that. But that's not what we all came for. Some of you have been coming to the John class that we've been doing after worship for the last several months. And last week in that class, we had a healing story. Last week in that class, we talked about in the Gospel of John the story of the man who's down by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for the waters to get strung up or stirred up so that he can get healed. Does that ring a bell for some of you? If it doesn't ring a bell, I'm sorry. You should read John more. I'm halfway kidding. Just come to the class and you'll hear it. Last week, that's what we talked about in the John thing. It's a similar kind of healing story, but in John's story, what Jesus says to this man is not, "Your sins have been forgiven." He just says to the man, "Stand up and walk. Take up your mat and walk," is what he says. But here in Mark, Jesus takes this moment to tell the man that his sins have been forgiven first. Why? I've told you before that each one of the Gospels has its own lens. It has its own preference, not its own preference, but its own emphasis. Each one of the Gospels tells the story of Christ slightly differently, and it does so because each one of the Gospel writers is a different person. They all have a different agenda, and I know the word agenda has all of these ramifications. Don't take it in a negative way. They each have a certain way of expressing their relationship with Christ, their knowledge of Christ, and sharing that with others. And they each present their Gospel in a way that shows that. Mark's thing is he's fast. Mark is the gospel where if you read it, he's constantly saying, and immediately. It's like his favorite transition. And immediately this happened. And then immediately this happened. And then immediately this happened. And that's what Mark looks like if you read through it. It's actually even worse in the Greek. They were really kind in the English and they edit out a lot of that. But in the Greek, every one of his connections is, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And his sentences are really short. He would drive my high school English teacher crazy because they're all fragments or borderline. Mark wants to give you the important information about Jesus as quickly as possible. Now, again, last week we talked about these other healings, right? These other healings in Mark. We talked about the healing of, or the casting out of a demon, the spiritual healing. There was the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. So the physical healing. And then we also talked about the healing of the leper and how that wasn't just a physical healing, that was also a relational healing. It was a relationship that was being healed because he doesn't say to the man, with leprosy, "You've been healed." He says, "You are clean. You've been made clean." You remember that? We talked about how that was all about the relationship between that man and his community. That he was welcome, that he was a part of the group. And today Jesus says to this man who can't walk, not take up your mat. He says it eventually, but not first. He says, "Your sins have been forgiven." Because he's still healing relationships. But in this case, he's healing the relationship between the man and God. You follow me? I'm looking at you all today a lot. I'm going to look at you all for a while. It isn't just a relationship between people that he is here to heal. It is the relationship between humanity and God. Son, your sins have been forgiven. Stop being so afraid. Stop being so afraid of what your standing with God is. God loves you. Deal with it. Sarah's favorite sermon that she wants me to preach someday, and someday I really will. Tell you what, if they go to the Super Bowl and it overlaps with worship, that day I will just say, "God loves you. Go home." And someday she wants me to, it'll happen someday, so... God loves you. Deal with it. And then eventually go home. He's healing relationships today. That's why he starts off with, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This man needs to know not just that he will be physically able, but he needs to understand that God already loves him and always had loved him and always will love him. "Son, your sins are forgiven. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners." I read those words, and I am so thankful for those words. I am so thankful that Christ says he has come to call sinners. Because that means I'm included. If he's calling the righteous, I'm up a creek. I don't know about the rest of you. But if he's calling sinners, if he's calling the people who are broken, the people who are damaged, the people who have doubts, the people who have struggles, I'm all in. I can be a part of that parade. We've talked before, what is sin? The self turned inward. Basically selfishness. It's that idea that we matter more than anything else or anyone else. Now, don't take that to the extreme. Don't think that you're worthless. That's not what it means. But if you stop and think about where the brokenness is in our creation, so much of it centers on this tendency we have as human beings to think of ourselves as the only thing that matters. And Jesus says, you know what? I can fix that. God still loves you. Martin Luther used to talk about how we are simultaneously saint and sinner. Because a saint is a forgiven sinner. We are simultaneously redeemed and fallible. Which means that, yeah, we're not perfect. We are going to fall on our faces and we are going to do the wrong thing sometimes. But it also means that we have this promise from Christ that he will pick us back up when it happens. Son, daughter, husband, wife, mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, your sins are forgiven. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for all that you have shown us and given to us through Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness that you have made known to us in his life, death, ministry, and resurrection. We ask you to bless us this day, to help us to experience your love and faithfulness, and to recognize in you a way in which we can help make this world more greatly reflect your love. We pray all of this, trusting in your holy name. Amen.